This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
One and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton. I'm currently at Constitution Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C., looking at the White House. I'm here for the Make Trucking Great Again rally. Well, how are we doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well tonight. It's beautiful outside. It's lovely outside. I've been into town. It's wonderful to be alone.
Outstanding. Well, where are you tonight, Walt?
On my back deck at home.
Nice. Well, anyways, those who live in the DMV, if you're not a Constitution Avenue, get your ass down here anyways. First order of business, we want to remember the members of the law enforcement community that were murdered in the line of duty. Fortunately, this week we have no names. However, there's been dozens and dozens and dozens of members of law enforcement that succumbed to COVID-19. You know, what gets me is that these politicians, they want to shut everything down, but ignore the fact that their officers, their deputies, their jailers, correction officers are dying line of duty. But anyways, like I said before, Walt, I'm here live on Constitution Avenue Northwest with dozens of independent truckers protesting the way they have been treated. They are actually getting screwed by the brokers that arrange the pickup and delivery of products. Also, they have an issue with safe overreach and the idea of self-driving trucks. Now, myself, it's a self-driving truck, just like a self-driving car, it's a machine, it breaks down. Trust me, as a owner of many junky cars. But anyways, these truckers down here are not your regular fleet truckers from J.B. Hunt, Werner, England, or USA Truck. These truckers are not a member of labor union system, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. And as for COVID-19, nobody here is wearing masks, and they're all standing shoulder to shoulder, and nobody's getting sick, including yours truly. I was here on Monday, and I had an absolute blast. But anyways, there's been no media coverage because, in my opinion, these people work for a living, and not one of the specialized groups that the media looks for. They want to change the rules so they can feed their families. And there's more. Personally, there's more media coverage of the fake news story at the border with the lady and her daughters being subject to, quote-unquote, tear gas than what's happening with these truckers. And since these people are not paid by George Soros, and not part of some filthy leftist mob yelling, Trump sucks or kill cops, these people don't fit here in the District of Columbia. Because not all of them are college graduates. Not all of them are self-centered or self-righteous, and none believe they are better than everyone else in flyover country. But anyways, these people here couldn't have been nicer. Unlike your typical leftist rent-a-mob, they are an abundance of American flags flying. There's no violence. There's no yelling. There's no trash anywhere. Nobody's using the street as a toilet, and I talked to two different groups of people, and both of them offered me food. And fortunately, many volunteers have donated food and other supplies. Thankfully, there are hotel services and restrooms and showers. Anyways, when I left here Monday, I said, this is America. Hard work. Patriotic on both sides of the political spectrum. Nice as can be. So as soon as I turned the corner on 15th Street where Cowers Park, guess what? I was back to D.C., the self-righteous, self-absorbed, holier-than-thou people of the District of Columbia. But what really surprised me is that on Constitution Avenue, these truckers are allowed to park here. Because, trust me, the U.S. Secret Service and the MPD has an issue with it. But anyways, I have a special guest right here. His name is Mike Landis. He is the co-founder of the U.S. United States Transportation Alliance. Mike is a trucker. He's more looks more of a trucker than a lobbyist. I'm going to put you on speaker. Ask Mike, what's he doing here? What's going on?
Mike, how are we doing?
Pretty good.
Mike, why are the truckers here?
Well, there's a multitude of reasons as to why we're here. The biggest thing at this point, I think, that brought everyone out is these low freight rates that we're dealing with as independent carriers and small companies right now.
What do you mean by low freight rates?
So you know, for us little guys, it's not impossible, but it's tough to get our own direct shippers because we're small and we can't offer a lot of service with only a few trucks or one truck or whatever. So, you know, there's a lot of these freight broker companies out there, and they're kind of like the middleman between the shippers and receivers and us carriers. So what they do is they go out and they get these, you know, loads through contract for this company or this company or what have you, and then they put it on a load board, which is on the internet. And we can go on there and find these loads. It's almost kind of like shopping for your next load online in a way. But what happens is there's supposed to be transparency there that we can ask for through federal rule about the rates, you know, what they're charging and what they're giving us and stuff like that. Kind of hold them a little bit accountable so that they don't price gouge. Well, they don't really follow that rule. They find ways to kind of circumvent that federal rule. With, you know, kind of bogus contracts and stuff they make you sign, which everyone will sign them because they want the work, and then but then you kind of waive your rights, which is technically illegal, and that's kind of what we're fighting for right now. But that is to get people to look into that, because if you ask for this information, they're supposed to provide it to you through federal rule, like I said, but if you ask, they get irritated with you, and they'll blacklist you, basically, is what they call it, to the point where they may give it to you, but they'll never give you work again after that, because now you've seen how much they're making and so forth. And, yes, there's a part of this where, you know, we as the carriers do agree to haul it at a certain rate. You know, so there's a little bit on both sides here, but the biggest problem is they're going around this and they're trying to move loads that they're getting for a premium price at a very less than premium price, so they make more profit. And I have no problem with anyone in this country trying to make the best money they can, okay? But there's an ethical side of this where it just becomes wrong. You know, there's actually a fellow here that brought a load in from California. They tried to get him to move for $4,000. And when he got in here, the place where he delivered that actually showed him the freight bill, and it was almost $14,000 they paid to have it brought in. Well, an office and a computer isn't as expensive as a piece of equipment that we have with these trucks driving down the road. So there's really no reason as to why they should be making that much money. And he actually got them to pay a little bit more on it. But, you know, it's the thing that they try and get it pushed through cheaper than what it is. And although, you know, it's a sale tactic, you try and sell, you sell high because you know you're going to get, you know, brought down. But there's a point there where there's actually a rule that says they're only allowed to take no more than 45% of what that rate is. Well, if you look at that load right there, that's way above 45% of what they're
doing. Who regulates the 45% rule? Is that industry standard or the government?
So there's rules for that in place through the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association, the FMCSA, which writes all the federal regulations for the trucking industry that we as truckers have to follow. And there's also guidelines in there for brokers, because just like I have to have a motor carrier number to be a certified carrier in this country, the brokers have to have the same motor carrier type number, too, to be certified through the FMCSA to do it. So there's rules they're supposed to follow. However, there's really no one enforcing them.
Right. Wow. But anyways, we just got our first commercial break out here with Mike Landis. Folks, we'll be talking about the trucker protest here in Northwest District of Columbia. Stay tuned, everybody.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's gonna do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And this is Scoop once again with Mike Landis here at Constitution Avenue Northwest in front of the White House. Mike was telling us about how the independent director was getting absolutely shafted by the brokers. Mike, finish up your thought before we go to the next question.
Yeah, you know, so as I was saying, these brokers try to do this price gouging, and the problem with that is it's kind of like rate fixing, and that's illegal. They have a form of collusion where they come together and form a gentleman's agreement. You know, if you watch the load boards, these rates drop usually all together at the same time, and they'll blame it on supply and demand of amount of trucks to loads and what have you. But the thing is most of their stuff is contracted. It's not all spot market. Some of it is, but a lot of it's under contract, which means the rates don't drop. Because those of us out here that do have our own direct customers, our freight rates aren't dropping just because of that. And this has been a problem for years and years. The thing is brought to the forefront right now really is during this COVID-19, where we're supposed to be essential and stay out here and keep the country moving, there has been a drop in products being produced because people staying at home and, just restaurants being closed and stuff like that. So there's not as much freight to move, although what's moving is important. And they've actually dropped the rate so where you couldn't even break even if you'd want to right now. It's actually costing us money for the most part to move their products around the country. So Why do we want to drive around and actually cost us money to try and make a living?
Right. You can be a typical leftist and just sit on your keister and have somebody give you a check. But anyways, there's been a lot of talk in the media about Donald Trump. What has he done? What has he not done for the truckers out here?
I just want to make one thing clear. This is not a political protest. This isn't an anti-Trump. This isn't really a pro-Trump protest. There's people here that love the man. There's people here that don't love the man. This is about trying to get him to support us, small business America, not necessarily us supporting him. It's been misconstrued a little bit. And he is willing to work with us. He sent his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, out here to talk with us the other day, and I have been in direct contact myself with him since. So things are moving in the right direction, and it appears we do have some friends in the White House. which is great news because I've spent the last few years down here advocating for this industry over on Capitol Hill, and we haven't really gotten too far with it.
Right, exactly, because, like I said before, you're not a part of a special interest group or special class of people that the media goes at, wants to count. Well, you're still with us. I know I've been hogging the microphone as usual. Do you have any questions for our guest?
Yeah, I do. First of all, thanks for coming on our show tonight. I'm sorry you're talking to Scoop face-to-face instead of me. But besides that point, I know very little about trucking, you know, from the start of a trip to the end of a trip and in between. Mostly I know about trucks cutting me off and me cutting them right back off, too. It's just like recreation on the highway. But I respect the truckers that you know, pull the weight, so to speak, on transporting everything around our country. You know, between the truckers and the trains, I prefer to deal with the truckers because those trains cost the new truckers money, you know, and those freight trains. I'd rather see trucks on the road than trains on the rail. But that's just my personal opinion. However, I agree that I think Donald Trump does have your back, like he's got my back and Scoop's back, and I think the rest of America's back. And you know the relief is going to be when our economy recovers. You know, between now and then, it's a horror show. You know, it's a horror show. So my question to you, Mike, is how in the world is the trucking industry going to survive? Meatpacking plants are closed. A lot of clothing isn't being shipped. How do you survive with such a burden on your shoulders that you can't perform? No reason on your own. But how are the truckers going to survive? Is the union going to help them out?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and that's part of the reason we're here. You know, we do the best we can to try and make as much as we can and keep some for a rainy day, as we're seeing here, and this is turning into rainy months. And to answer your question, honestly, it's not going to. There's going to be a lot of small companies, a lot of small independents, and even bigger companies, I think, are going to feel this till it's all said and done, because, you know, trucking is a pretty direct reflection of the economy and what's about to happen. So when we start having dire straits, the rest of the country is about to go in for a big issue, too. And to come out of that is going to take time. And we're going to be feeling the effects of this for a long time. And hopefully a lot of us can hang on out here trying to live our own little piece of the American dream, running our own trucks and own small businesses. But there's going to be a lot to go out, and it's kind of scary because I feel like it's part of a plan to have corporate America take over and get us little guys out of the picture.
Yeah, you know, corporate America is still going to have to put food on their plates, and, you know, how it gets there is going to be the question. You know, do they pay, you know, somebody like you, and I'll use the example, the money that you deserve, or pay some, hack, to bring in food products that they don't know is unfamiliar with and not even sure if they're dependable and what they're getting, you know, what they're getting, going to get in their stores or restaurants or whatever. In a union, I've been in unions all my life. And, you know, when the spit hits the fan, the union stood behind me, you know, except the situation I'm in now, but that's another story. The union is supposed to have money set aside for things just like this, and it's called the pension fund. You know, I don't know what Mr. Hoffa Jr. is running, but there's a pension fund, and I don't see a problem with deferring that pension to bring it to you guys now for 6 months, and then see what happens.
The Teamsters is a interesting subject because, see, as independent truckers and small business owners, we cannot be a part of the union or part of the Teamsters like that. We're not even allowed to unionize between ourselves. So we truly are independent out here. And, you know, you brought up a point there about the hack, so to speak. And, you know, I just want to say that in this broker issue that we're having right now, we're not the only ones losing. You have these shippers, receivers, or, you know, whichever end pays for the freight bill. It depends on the contract as to who pays, but they're paying for this premium service, and they're getting dealt, you know, hacks, basically, because these people are trying to get it moved for cheap. And I'm a firm believer in you get what you pay for. So if I was someone paying a freight bill for, like I said, $14,000, and someone gave me the service of a $4,000 truck, I'd be a little upset. So, you know, we're not the only ones losing, but it's an issue for everybody out here. We have a lot of other issues. It's just the freight brokers, too, we're dealing with. Mike, real quick before we go to our next break, how can people get in contact with you, get involved in this protest here in D.C.?
You know, you can find me on Facebook. There's a couple other people here, too. You know, Greg Anderson and C.J. Sergi Carmen and Janet Sanchez that can give you information on it. And I'm sure there's someone that's here. You know, we're on Constitution Avenue in between the White House and the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., and we're not planning on going anywhere until we get some type of resolve. So we have about, I don't know, 8 or 9 blocks of trucks on both sides of the road lined up right now. So just show up.
Wow. All right. Wow, that's great. All right, everybody, just once again, that's Mike Landis. Are you on Facebook? Just Mike Landis?
Yeah.
Check him out on Facebook. I couldn't find him, but also if you go to @TruckersRights on Twitter, follow that too. That's the United States Transportative Association. But anyways, we'll be right back. We'll talk about somebody else who needs our help and the health secretary in Pennsylvania. Stay tuned, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is trying to develop a coronavirus vaccine. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has more.
Speaking at the White House, the president says he's looking to get a vaccine, hopefully, by the end of the year.
My administration cut through every piece of red tape to achieve the fastest ever by far launch of a vaccine trial for this new virus, this very vicious virus.
The president's spending his weekend at Camp David. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The House has passed a $3 trillion HEROES Act to help deal with the economic fallout from the coronavirus.
A $3 trillion liberal wish list is not a serious proposal.
This isn't a wish list. If it's a wish list, it's for the working class people.
Senate Republicans and the White House say the bill is dead on arrival. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I've had a lot of really great days back to back, which has been a huge blessing. Even my doctor told me, because they asked me to bring everything in that I take on a daily basis. He was very encouraged by seeing what I was taking, and he said he didn't care how many I had. You know, he said it's food. And the form that it's in was something that he was very, because he's an avid learner, and he's always researching, and he's always excited to see new things. And he told me, this would be good. This will help you immensely with the nutrition that you need.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
A senior State Department official confirms President Trump has fired the State Department internal watchdog. Inspector General Steve Linick has been removed and Ambassador Steve Accard, a career Foreign Service officer, will be replacing him. Linick did play a role during the impeachment of President Trump over Ukraine, requesting a meeting with congressional Democrats and handing over documents related to the State Department and to Ukraine. The administration is also reportedly considering resuming U.S. funding for the World Health Organization. Sources say the United States will likely reduce future funding to match the level of China's contribution. That's roughly about $40 million. That would be down significantly from the U.S.'s previous investment in the WHO, which was about $400 million annually. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
All right, folks, we are back. During the commercial break, I was talking to Mike Levine, and turns out the truckers went to a graduation ceremony of a young lady who graduated, I don't know if it was high school or college, but her father was killed in the line of duty. And the mother just happened to be down here and said what the problem was, what was going on. When her husband was killed in line of duty, the department said, oh, we'll never forget you. We'll be behind you 100%. So, needless to say, they forgot about her. So, you had about six or seven truckers do a drive-by participation in a graduation ceremony for the daughter for a fallen officer. I mean, these are the type of people we love, and these are the type of people that make up America. But anyways, the horn you're hearing is a, not mine. I'm going to head back to my car right now. But anyways, back to reality. With this COVID-19 business going on, everybody, every politician in every state is going on TV day after day after day after day, including the Secretary of Health or whatever jurisdiction. One stuck out of my mind. The Health Secretary for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It is Dr. You like this one? It is Dr. Richard Levine. Dr. Levine goes by Rich Levine because it turns out Dr. Levine is part of the LGBTQ MTA near NYCT. That's right. Governor Tom Wolf appointed Dr. Richard Levine, who's dressed up as a chick, as a health secretary for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And, of course, nothing's been said about this, which is absolutely ridiculous. You got more or less a dude dressed up as a lady who wants to be called Rachel instead of Richard, his birth name, and the media's fine with it. Well, I'm not fine with it because it's just a total embarrassment to the health department for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and to the taxpayer of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But being the true liberal that Dr. Levine is, she said, or correction, he said, because I refuse to call these trannies what they want to be. You're born with an outie, you're a man. If you're born with an innie, you're a lady. But Dr. Levine said that it's perfectly okay to put the old people with COVID-19 in the nursing homes. Well, guess what Dr. Levine did? Dr. Levine took her 95-year-old mother out of a nursing home and brought her somewhere else. And we all know what happened once you put those elderly people in the nursing homes and assisted facilities. The death rate skyrocketed. What say you about Dr. Levine?
Well, you know, I've read a little bit about this person, and, you know, it is what it is, but you know, you got people coming out of woodwork from all walks of life, from all forms of life, and expressing their opinions, you know, after the facts. You know, well, I wouldn't say the facts because we don't really know all the facts yet. You know, this is the one that moved her mother out of the nursing home, put her in the hotel. Is this the one we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she said it's okay for people with COVID to stay in nursing homes. And as soon as she could, she got her mom out of Dodge.
Right, right. Well, this all falls back to King Cuomo out there in New York. You know, put all the, you know, coronavirus, positive coronavirus victims, you know, back into the nursing homes instead of using the USS Comfort or bringing them over to the Jacob Javits Center. So, now they're just they're making their bed is what they're doing, and they're gonna sleep in it sooner or later. You know what this Dr. Levine has done and is getting involved with is I think far beyond the information or the knowledge that this person has, you know, to speak about. The only one that can really speak about it are the ones that are actually involved in it. I mean, Governor Cuomo isn't even involved in it. He's just sitting at a table shooting nonsense off out of the mouth instead of saying to the people, all right, what do you people want to do? Because you've elected me. You know, they elected him because he's supposed to do what the people want, not what his opinions are. And, you know, I don't know how he's basing his opinions. I don't know how Levine is basing the opinions that Levine has. So, you know, if people can give their own opinion, it doesn't mean it's going to be gospel. And, you know, I have my own opinion also. And pretty much I do what I want. I'm not wearing a mask. I go into public. I go into stores. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm fine. The handling of it is just horrid. Horrid. Most of the people that didn't want to lock in, most of the people that wanted to go to Chinatown for dinner are the ones now trying to hold their states in like a prison. And the people are fed up with it. People are fed up with it, you know.
Right. And Dr. Levine is not the only health official, because you got the head of the health department in New York, I forget her name's not important, not giving a crap when the cop said, hey, we need some masks, because, I mean, New York's finest is dying over this COVID-19, a lot more than car accidents, shootings, and so on and so forth. They're dying. And then you got the health commissioner in Los Angeles, California, the city of Los Angeles. She looks like she's on death's doorstep. And she, again, she wants to close the city down for another 3 weeks, and people are sick of it. But, you know, it's good. You know, it's good for thee, not for me. So, but, I mean, just... I mean, but where's this madness going to end? Because you got drag queens teaching kids, reading to kids, and teaching kids in public libraries and other public forums. You got these TV shows showing dudes dressed up as ladies. I mean, my thing is, if you want to dress up as a lady, that's fine. But keep it to yourself. Because I am just sick and tired of having these transgender people push their agenda. And, you know, it's I don't know where it stops. I mean, if you look at the perfect example, the Boy Scouts of America, they said, oh, we just want to have you need to accept gays and gay scoutmasters. They're like, okay. So, sure enough, what happened? They got the pantsuit off of them because the people involved scoutmasters were abusing the kids. I mean, they want, and just like gay marriage, they want gay marriage, okay, yeah, gay marriage. Now they, you know, next thing you know, it's going to be pedophilia. If you don't believe me, go back to archives a couple weeks ago where Alan Dershowitz said the age of consent should be lowered to 15. And in the meantime, I'm still walking in the District of Columbia looking for my automobile. Hope I didn't get stolen, because not too many people want an 83 Escort wagon. Well, you got anything else about this person, this dude?
No. No.
Right. Who would have known 30 years ago Aerosmith hit the nail on the head with the song Dude Looks Like a Lady? Those horns you're hearing are people going up and down Constitution Avenue supporting the truckers. But anyways, before we go to the next meeting, folks, if you're within anywhere near the District of Columbia, just come on down. It's Constitution Avenue. You can't miss it. It's right by the White House. And these people, I'm telling you, they are the nicest, most down-to-earth people you'd ever want to meet. And like I was telling Mike during the commercial, Monday, if I'm not out of breath, I'm walking a long way because there's tons of cars there for the protest. And I was telling Mike, I said, as soon as I turned the corner and go back to my car, I saw some left-wing piece of trash walking down like he's better than everybody else. I'm saying, that's your reality. But anyway, well, I'm just going to go. So we got a cover message. Oh, and some girl with big butt just bumped into my car. Such is life in the big city. What?
She bumped in your car?
Yeah, no, there's a car parked in front of me, and she backed up, and her big butt hit my car. Well, I done some damage. It's a big one. But anyways, we come back. We're going to talk about somebody else that needs some help, a law enforcement officer who just told the truth. We'll be right back, everybody.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com. Or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheep herder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Thank you, James Edward and John Anderson. Man, I wish that band would get back together. But anyways, well, another fine American, another great American, and this person is a real great American, unlike DC insider Sean Hannity talks to. His name is Greg Anderson. Mr. Anderson is a police officer with the Port of Washington Police Department. Port of Washington is like the Port Authority of New York, New Jersey. I believe he's worked at the Tacoma, Seattle airport, and he got in trouble. Well, everybody knows that you got in trouble for, things you shouldn't have been doing. And I got in trouble for things I shouldn't have done, and we both got fired. But anyways, Mr. Anderson's crime was he told the truth. And what did he talk about? He talked about the Constitution. He talked about the rule of law. And he talked about how this mandatory spacing, wearing a face mask or rags or whatever over your face, is unconstitutional, and again, he cites constitutional law, and he said, you know what, officers, if you're out there, don't enforce these unjust laws, because you're going to pay for it. And so, what happened was that Mr. Anderson, at first, his command called him up and praised him, because it was blowing up. Hey, great job, great job, great job. So then later, of course, here comes the hammer. Officer Anderson, you got to take it down. Like, why? You said good job. So no, you can't. Like, why? Because you're going against what the governor of the state of Washington is putting out. And that you can't have that. You can't be putting saying don't enforce law of the governor of your state, or you can't be a police officer. So he going back and forth with his job. Of course, the union's done absolutely nothing. So what happened, he's been placed on administrative leave. And, of course, nobody came out for him. I haven't heard anything from the FOP, anything from his union, if he does have one, about it. So here you have an officer just stating the Constitution, what the law is and what the law is not, in that officers should not enforce unconstitutional law, because it's not even a law. Because no governing body, representative body, voted on said law. Local laws, you have your city councilman or your state or your county legislature. State laws, you have your state legislature. Federal laws, you have the House and the Senate, which Nancy Pelosi is trying to put $3 trillion of socialism down our throats. And you and I get to pay for that, but we'll talk about that later. But anyways, Officer Anderson said, I'm not doing it. Do as you must. Now, this day and time, it took a lot of you-know-what for him to say that, because Anderson is married, has three small kids, and has not one but two homes. So he's in a pickle right now. So he really can't afford to be losing his job. But, again, Mr. Anderson wanted to stand up for what's right. And here's something about the Officer Anderson. He used to be part of the 75th Ranger Division. He was a certified U.S. Ranger, which they did things that you and I do not have the clearance for. And now I got two idiots on a scooter coming on the highway. So I called 911 after get off the phone. Jesus Christ. But anyways. Well, before I had these people on a scooter, what say you about the plight of Officer Anderson?
All right. Well, I saw an interview on the Ingram Angle last night with this fella, and he was sitting in his squad car in uniform, and he was telling it like it is. He was telling the truth. Then, as a police officer, a sworn officer of the court, and a sworn officer of the law, is not going to listen to a guideline that violates the rights of the citizens he's on to protect. And I believe that's about the gist of it, and that he's not going to enforce, people in the park, you got to put a mask on or I'm going to arrest. They're just guidelines. There's no written rules. Like you said, there's no law voted in. Somebody said something about, well, what about when the governor declares martial law? And, that's different. That's when that's to make sure crime doesn't happen, you know, like looting and riots and that kind of stuff and burning cars. Ain't nobody doing none of that. Nobody's doing none of that. People just want to get back to normal. You know, they call it the new normal. You know, whatever you want to call it, that's fine. But the officer first said that, you know, he may have been suspended because he did it in uniform, because, you know, he's offering his personal views on things. If he did it in civvies, he probably wouldn't have been suspended. However, when the order came down to suspend him, it came down from, like you said, people had said that he did a good job, he did the right thing. And then it got to the governor's office, you know, through the mayor and into the governor's office, and they suspended him. You know, if there's a PBA out there or some type of law enforcement union, you know, they'll fight for him. There's a good chance this guy might lose his job. And that sucks. It's basically the same thing that girl did in Texas, in Dallas, opening up a salon. You know, she did exactly what this officer said that people should do. You know, follow yourself. Don't listen to idiotic. It's not even an order. It was a guideline. And I think they both have a good lawsuit. Especially this police officer. And he's trained in the law. And if you make something up, I'm not going to pervert the law just to fit what the governor wants. You know, you got the governor, you got Andy Cuomo running around New York without a mask on. So, you know, lock him up. If that's the rule, lock
him up. Right. And speaking of locking people up, you got, you know, we got Officer Anderson in the Seattle area. Then back to our hometown, since there's such a hubbub about the NYPD arresting these people for social distancing, and I'm gonna tell you right now, if you're a cop out there or sheriff or something like that, and you're forcing these social distancing things, shame on you. You know, just resign. But anyway, since the mayor put all these orders out saying, enforce these social distancing guidelines, and so many people in the hood are not adhering to social distancing guidelines, people are getting hurt. And because I know from personally seeing driving through the hood going to and from my business, you still got the homies on the corner doing puff puff pass. Look that up, you know what that means. But anyways, so then Mayor de Blasio said, okay, put some cops out in the white neighborhoods and enforce that. And that blew up in his face. So then they said, all right, the sworn officers will not be enforcing this. We'll get 2,000 social distancing ambassadors. Now, where did we hear that before? They don't have any authority. Like, oh, yeah, like the Nazi brown shirts, you know, looking at people, or the KGB. But, that, you know, that's a huge difference between places like New York, in California, in Washington, in other places like Texas, and Florida, and Georgia.
It could be anywhere. It could be anywhere that, you know, there's some police officer who is, I don't know, overly dedicated, you know, and right. If he wants me to put on a mask and I refuse, and he says, well, if you don't put a mask on, I'm going to arrest you. I'll put my wrist out. Go ahead. Lock me up, bro.
Right.
Lock me up.
And what's funny, you got the cops told, hey, go do social distancing and, tell people to put a mask on. Well, they don't have any masks to issue anybody because the head of the health department in New York City told them to go go pound sand. So, I mean, that's Democrats for you. And, you know, just I don't know what to do anymore because I'm so sick of living in Northern Virginia. I mean, you got old Coon Man, Ralph Northam, he's dressed as a Klansman or a blackface, but he's able to keep his job because his successor, Justin Fairfax, has been accused numerous times of sexual assault. So, okay, we can't really put him in the governor's mansion. Oh, well, listen, what about the attorney general? It turned out he's dressed in blackface when he went to college, too. And I don't know, you know, I don't know, maybe we should move down to Tennessee. How's the Tennessee doing with this COVID-19 foolishness?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, the death rate is 40.
Hey, we made it to the episode. Another great job, another great show in the can. Folks, check us out, cellfireradio.org. Just remember, we are the real media. Stay safe, everybody.
James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.